God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Greek giving the imperative concerning how important it is for us to worship God. Of all of the responsibilities that accompany God's grace, I personally find worship to be one of the most challenging for myself, and I don't think I'm alone in that. I think sometimes when we think about worship in and of itself, we think of something that we do on Sunday, and that's exactly what it is. God is our audience. He expects us to come together. But I think many times it's the way that we approach worship in and of itself is what's most important to God. Obviously, we go through the five acts of worship, and we understand how important those are. We understand the singing aspect and the giving and partaking of the Lord's Supper because we commemorate His death, because we remember what He did for us. We understand how important it is for us to hear God's Word and for us to offer prayers to our Father because He wants us to talk to Him, to thank Him for those things that He's done for us. But when you think about the avenue of worship, worship is not only something we do collectively together, but worship is something that's also meant to be very personal, because all of us worship God differently. Though we're all sitting here together, and that's the collective aspect, God wants us to gather together as we read about in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. We understand the importance of assembling together on the first day of the week. But it's how we personalize our worship to God that's also extremely important to the Father. Because sometimes I think we minimalize how important that should be to us, and when we're approaching God at that moment, at that time, at that day, what we're supposed to give in relation to our service and in our worship. I can read through the New Testament, and when you think about the idea of worship, and those that perhaps struggled just with the concept, not in relation to worshiping God, but with the concept of what worship was, there are several different ideas or things that we can see in the New Testament. When you come to Matthew chapter 4, you think about Jesus in the wilderness, and one of the first things that He's tempted with is worship. The devil said, "I'll give you all of these things if you'll simply bow down and worship Me." In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus talks about the most strictest sect of religious individuals in the Bible, that being the Pharisees. But even they struggled with the concept of worship because Jesus said, they talk about Me in relation to who I am, but in vain they do worship Me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And then we also see in Acts chapter 17, we read of individuals on Mars Hill when Paul comes in preaching in the city of Athens, they had more gods that they were worshiping than they had people. So much so that Paul said, "You even have a god to the unknown God just to make sure that you have all of your bases covered." And then you come to Colossians chapter 3 and you see our brethren in Colossae struggling with the concept of will worship. That is, they were taking the idea of Judaism, forming it with paganism, and they came up with this whole idea of worshiping the way they wanted to, will worship. So when we think about the concept of what true worship is, as it says again in John 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit and they that worship Him must, giving the imperative, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So tonight I want to go to an unlikely place to talk about worship, because I think we could look at this particular idea in the Old Testament to see what Moses went through and how Moses approached the avenue of worship when it came down to him praising God on the mountain, when we go to Exodus chapter 34. And we're going to spend our time in the first 10 verses. So I encourage you tonight to click or turn your pages to Exodus chapter 34 as we look at this together in understanding the idea of worship. You see, I take a great deal of comfort as I look at these individuals that struggled with the concept the way that I have struggled with the concept, because I always want to make sure when I come together, when we come together, but when I come before God's throne of mercy and grace, that I approach it in such a way that I'm giving everything I have in relation to how I'm supposed to worship the Father. Because sometimes we simply go through the motions on Sunday. We approach it as something else we have to do to make sure we're ticking or checking off the box for the week. To make sure that I'm doing what God requires of me, therefore I'm going to make sure that I'm present and I'm going through the motions per se, but I don't think we really make it personal enough. So I think Exodus 34 might be able to help us. You think about what Amos tells the people in Amos 4 and verse 12. He says, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." So tonight, that's what we want to talk about concerning of what it means to make sure that we prepare, because worship must be acceptable to God. Because if it's not, then we too can be worshiping the Lord in vain, just like the Pharisees did. Because that's not something we want to hear. Many people throughout this land on Sunday mornings, the Lord's Day, go through the motions of worship. Even those within the Lord's church go through the motions of worship. But sometimes their worship too is vain. Though they might think it's not, but when you approach it from the aspect and how we're going to talk about it tonight in Exodus chapter 34, the way Moses approaches this concept, to prepare to meet thy God. This is an example of worship, I think, that can help us to see an example of how Moses looked at approaching the Lord concerning the worship that he gives. Read Exodus 34, verses 1 through 10 with me, and then we're going to break these down for just a few moments tonight. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor the herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and he took his hand and the two tables of stone, in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, that they will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let thy Lord, I pray thee, go among us, and it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, Behold, I will make a covenant before thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible," or perhaps your version says, "awesome thing that I will do with thee." Three things I want to look at tonight: prepare, presence, and praise, as we look about the idea concerning the wonders of worship. When you think about what it means to prepare, or preparation, first let's begin and go back to Exodus 34 and verse 2 here, where we find the concept of what it means to prepare. In verse 2, God said for Moses to rise up early in the morning, be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai, and present himself there to me in the top of the mount. The Hebrew word translated stand here means to stand perpendicular. To present himself means to stand perpendicular. If you've served in the military, you understand the idea of standing at attention. This is what God is telling Moses: to come before me and stand perpendicular, to stand at attention and present yourself to me. Many times I think we approach worship as if God is presenting himself to us. That's not the way worship works. We present ourselves to God that we might be acceptable before Him concerning our worship that we're giving to Him. Because when we come into the worship assembly, brethren, we check the world at the door and everything behind us, and we bring everything that's good and perfect and right before the Father concerning our worship that we're preparing to be ready. And so it was with Exodus 34 and verse 2. He says, "You get up, and I want you to stand at attention and be prepared to present yourself to me, ready to worship me the way that I want you to worship me." The whole concept is there needs to be preparation. You see, sometimes I know this can be difficult for us, especially if you have children, right? We spend so much time in the morning running around and preparing our kids and making sure their clothes are right and making sure they've eaten and all of these things are good, and we come rushing into the Bible service, or perhaps a little bit later, or we come in for worship service and our kids go their way and we go our way, and we sit down and the first thing we do is go, whew, Glad I made it. But I'm here. That's not what God's talking about concerning preparation. You know, I think about that in relation to how we prepare for our jobs, how we prepare for sports, if you play sports. Do you think some of our famous athletes approach the game that's coming up on Saturday or Sunday to rush in at the last minute to say, I'm here, I'm ready to play, I hope I'm ready? In relation to our jobs, if we're preparing for a big meeting the next day, perhaps we take that home with us the night before to make sure that we're prepared to present ourselves that we might continue to have a job because we understand it's important. We want to keep the client or the account or whatever we're supposed to be doing. We prepare ourselves ahead of time because we're presenting ourselves in a certain way because we want to be acceptable, right? So when we think about that in relation to God, why do we then not present ourselves as Moses did? It said that he rose up early. Now I understand this. Not everybody is like me because I love the mornings. And I know some people absolutely hate the mornings. Some people think their alarm clocks are their enemy clocks. Larissa and I were talking about this several weeks ago. I don't think I've ever hit the snooze button on my alarm. I'm not bragging, I'm just saying. I don't have an issue with that, though I understand some people do. But what God expects of us in relation to preparing ourselves, sometimes we have to put forth the effort to be prepared to get up extra early because of what we're giving to God. I know it's not always popular. Believe me, I do like to sleep in too. But God is telling us that we must present and prepare. And He told Moses to rise up early to present yourselves before me to God and make sure that when you come before me, you're standing at attention and you're ready. Because that's how important it is to God that we come to worship Him. Remember the must, the imperative in the Greek in John 4 and verse 24? And then it goes on to say that God is a Spirit and He's looking for individuals that love Him, that want to worship Him. You see, when I come to worship, I'm coming because the Lord wants me there and because I want to be there. Because I'm ready to present everything that week to the Lord. I'm ready to lay it at His feet. But the Lord says that we've got to be prepared to be ready. But I find three things that He does to prepare. The first thing He did was that He cut two tablets of stone when He rose up early. And God said, rise up early, but it said that He was prepared to present something that God Himself was going to do the writing on, but He brought that with Him because He was ready for whatever God had in store for Him. When we think about preparation, how do we go about preparing for the Lord? You see, when we present ourselves, it's a mindset. It's not rushing in at the last minute like we do anything else in our secular lives. It's what we're now going to give to God Himself. When I was in preaching school, we went on the restoration trip, and it was a trip we took for a week, and we went around to all to where the restoration preachers were, up into Kentucky and Tennessee and some of the other areas as we were learning the history of some of these great gospel preachers. So we went into Bethany, West Virginia, to where the school is there, and that's where Alexander Campbell preached, where he was also one of the president and instructor at the school there. But it's interesting, when Alexander Campbell had this church built, the doors were on each side of the pulpit. And there was a wooden divide down the side about 4 feet high, and the men sat on one side and the women sat on the other side. And so as they would all file in, as the bell would ring, they would come together as they prepared for worship, the men filing in on the right, the women filing in on the left. When the bell stopped ringing, Alexander Campbell shut the doors. And if you came in late once the doors were shut, he made you sit on the pulpit stage. That way everybody would see who was late for worship. I'm not going to do that. But the idea that Alexander Campbell was portraying is that he wanted them to see how important it was concerning the idea of worship at God at the proper time, at the proper place. When we think about presenting ourselves to the Lord, are we presenting what the Lord expects of us in the proper time and the proper place? I understand sometimes we get behind because of kids and schedules and everything else. That's life. I do get that. But it's the effort that we make by the priority that we put in understanding exactly how important this day is to God. So we've got to put forth the proper preparation when we're ready for that. Not coming in at the split second and when we're supposed to be there and all of these other things. We've got to be ready to come into the presence of the Lord. In Exodus chapter 34, it talks about Moses being driven to his knees and he's literally smitten in the presence of God. Notice verses 5 through 7. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that they will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children and unto the third and to the fourth generation. Verse 5 says that he proclaimed. God literally called out who he was concerning Moses coming to his presence, that Moses understood who he was coming before. He begins to call out not Moses' name, but he calls out, that is, to preach, to tell Moses how important it is that God is now in his presence. The Lord passed before him and he proclaimed, the Lord God, the God of mercies and long-suffering and patience. I'm the one who does all of these things. You think about that, you go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. That is, he was declaring who he was concerning the great power that he had. So here's Moses, who's prepared the night before, who comes into the presence of the Lord, and the Lord says, now you're before me, Moses. Understanding how important this concept is to know exactly where you are at this particular moment in this particular time. You see, this is about Jehovah God. This is about Him and only Him alone. This isn't about us. You see, Exodus 34 says that he got up early and he was ready to go. You can't read the Lord spelled here in relation to placing the emphasis that it gives, because we understand that He is the great I Am. That's what He told Moses to tell the people. Those individuals that are giving you trouble, you tell them that I am that I say that I am. I am their God and I will always be their God. So they need to understand how important this concept is here. But the sermon continues, and the Lord God, given again as we see in Genesis 2, is declaring who He was. His goodness and His graciousness is now set before Moses himself. Moses, I want you to understand what I'm doing for you at this moment. Think about that in relation to our worship when we come before the Lord on Sunday and what God has already done for us at Calvary and what He wants us to remember every week. Because if we don't see how important that sacrifice was for us, but in vain we do worship. And that's not what God is looking for. He says, now merciful and gracious and long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. Moses, I'm all of these things. You're standing in my presence. So when you think about this, if I understand these things, and I know that I've got to be prepared to present myself as I come into the presence of the Lord, then all of the aspects of my worship then are coming together. But here's the thing I want you to understand, and I know this is probably going to sound a little weird. But when we come before the Lord and when we walk through those doors, we've got to check our feelings and our emotions at the door. Let me explain what I mean by shelling our feelings. Because when I come through those doors with my wants and my desires and my cares, it's no longer about God, but it's about me. But you see, here's the thing that we get out of this, because I'm not saying that worship is not about feelings, because we're moved to respond to the gracious invitation that Jesus gives us every Sunday. And we're moved when we respond to the idea of knowing what Jesus did for us at Calvary. But when I bring my personal feelings of what I want, not what God says I need in the worship, then I make worship something about me and not about God. But you see, when I worship God according to His standards, in spirit and in truth, of what He's looking for, am I then not going to get something out of that? Absolutely. I don't know about you, but I don't think there's a time that I can sing the song You Never Mentioned Him to Me and not get tears in my eyes. Of knowing perhaps that I too am guilty of not mentioning to Him to somebody who can't be here to experience the same type of worship that I'm experiencing? Because that's how important worship is to us. When we come into the presence of God, that's why I worship Him, and I need to see what Moses saw. But now notice verses 8 through 10 with me concerning the praise that Moses is going to give here. And Moses made haste. And it said that he bowed his head toward the earth and he worshiped. That is, he made sure that he did it quickly. I'm in the presence of God. He understood that. God said, this is who I am. This is how great I am. And these are all the things that I've done for your people. And Moses made haste here, understanding this, and he laid prostrate out on the ground as he was what? Worshiping the Lord. Head towards the earth. And he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray you, come among us, for it is a stiff-necked people. What is Moses saying? These people aren't perfect. They've sinned. They've made mistakes. Moses understands that better than anybody else. He says, pardon our iniquities. What did we say he did that we talked about this morning? He's taken responsibility for the things they had done. Pardon our iniquities, Lord. Forgive our sins, Lord. And take for us thine inheritance. Lord, accept us back into your good graces. And he said, behold, he said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. Before all thy people, I will do marvelous things such as have not been done in all the earth. Things that you've never even seen before, Moses. That's how good I'm going to be to you. Nor in any nation, in all the people among which thou art, shall see the word of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do for you. Moses made haste. He couldn't wait to get there because what he experienced made him bow and worship before God. You know what Moses did? You see, as I said at the beginning of the sermon, this is something I struggle with concerning my responsibility to worship. And that is, he humbled himself before the Lord. You see, it's easy for us to be pharisaical in our approach concerning worship sometimes, and I'll be the first to say I'm guilty about this. Why? Because I'm here. I mean, after all, this is where I'm supposed to be, right? This is what the Lord expects of me. I'm sitting in the seat where I'm supposed to be on Sunday morning. I've prepared and done all these things that I'm supposed to do. I'm here. That's not the right attitude. That's not a humble servant attitude concerning worship. Because when I come before the Lord Himself, when I come into His presence concerning His worship, guess what, brethren? It's not about me. Because it's about God. It's not about the fact that I'm here when I'm supposed to be here. It's the fact that I'm privileged to be here to worship the way God wants me to be here. You see, I think we all struggle with the concept sometimes, and perhaps we even pat ourselves on the back as we go out of the door. Made it on time today. Got lunch ready when I get home. Worship the Lord, put my money in the plate. Thought I paid attention to the preacher today, sang as I should. So I feel good about myself. I'm proud of myself today. But you see, when we leave, and when we worship according to God's truths, in spirit, because that's how God accepts our worship, then it becomes acceptable to Him. And when I leave, what I say is, I pray to God, my worship was acceptable today. Because that's the humble spirit God wants us to have. Because that's how important it is to Him. But we've got to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. We've sing the song sometimes, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Moses did exactly that. As he laid prostrate on the ground, his head bent towards the earth, he prayed to God, made haste to do it quickly because he knew he was in His presence and he knew what God could do for him and his people. You see, Moses exalted God. He lifted Him up to pay respect to the greatness that He was. And brethren, when we exalt God for who He is, we worship God for who He is. Because that's what He wants from us as His people. Notice again in verse 9, we see Moses come with this different feeling. He said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, Lord, I pray, please go among us. In verse 10, God responds to Moses' worship. I come to the last sentence. In relation to how Moses prepared himself to be in the presence to praise God at this moment, God accepts his worship. Lord, I pray, please come among us. And in verse 10, God says, it is an awesome thing that I'm going to do to you. You know what God did? He accepted his worship. Moses, you did exactly what I asked you to do. You got up early. You were prepared. You brought the things you needed. You presented yourself in a proper manner when I came before your presence, and you praised me the way I expect you to do. And because of that, I'm going to do great things for you. I remember in that moment, my worship to Him is what it's supposed to be. When you contemplate the blood of Jesus Christ working in your life, and you think about what Jesus Christ did for us, brethren, is that not a wonderful thing? And when you think about that in relation to our worship, of how important that blood is for us, and what God gave in sacrificing at Calvary, is it too much for me to give all I have for that 1 hour during the worship that God expects? I know sometimes we get in a hurry. I'm one that likes to hurry a lot. My kids say my song is that song from Alabama. I'm in a hurry to get things done, and I rush and rush till life knows fun. Sometimes I find myself rushing or looking at my watch like we all do. But brethren, if that's what we think worship is about, we've got it wrong. Because in that moment, at that time, nothing else matters. I find myself looking, how much time do I got to preach? Got to make sure I get done. But it's really not about that. It's me presenting myself before God that I might be acceptable in His presence as Moses was acceptable before God on that mountain. The blood of Christ is an awesome thing. So when we contemplate who God is, brethren, that should move us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Like I said at the beginning, I struggle with the concept of worship sometimes because I myself have found myself going through the motions. And for that, I'm ashamed. I'll be the first to tell you that. Because sometimes we think it's something else that we've got to do for the week to get it done. But if there's anything that we want to do more than anything in our week, it should be this day at this time for this purpose, that I might be acceptable and holy before God, that I might worship Him according to His standards and His truth. So am I guilty? Yes, I am. And maybe you're guilty too. But when we understand how Moses presented himself and the importance of what that worship meant to him, brethren, to us preparing becomes nothing as we come into His presence that we might praise Him on that day. I hope that's the attitude that you want as well. I know it's difficult. But I think as we collectively work together to understand that's our purpose, is to serve God as we're talking about this week as well. Our service is also our worship to Him as we come together collectively on Sundays. That day that God has set aside every other day. He said, this is the day I require of you, this one day. And I'm just asking me that you give it all that day as I come before you. And brethren, I can guarantee you as you give everything to the Lord on that day, when you walk out of those doors, you'll certainly know that you were in the presence of God. Amen. If you're struggling with it, I understand because I've been there. If you want to fix it, if you need to humble yourselves, as we all do from time to time, tonight's the night. If you're struggling with anything, we want to help you with that. The great thing is, as we collectively come together as a body, that says to the importance of that to the Lord is that we're a family to strengthen one another. And the purpose is that we can do that during these times too. So tonight, if you're struggling with anything, you need us to pray with you, to pray for you, to encourage you. Maybe you just need a hug and to say it's going to be okay. We want to give that to you tonight. And if you're here tonight, and you haven't been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, that precious blood that will take away all of your sins and that the Lord will present you before Himself as clean and without spot or without blemish. Tonight, if you're willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith that Jesus is the Lord with your mouth and put on Christ in baptism, Romans 6, 3 and 4, whereby we are buried in baptism into His death. Tonight, the Lord will add you to His church, Acts 2:47, and you can stand before Him as one of His children, as together we stand and as we sing.